My guest at this time is Richard Viguerie, longtime fixture of the conservative movement, pioneered direct mail in political advertising. He is the chairman of conservativehq.com. He is the author, most recently, of Takeover, the 100-year war for the soul of the GOP and how conservatives can finally win it. And there's certainly a battle for the soul of the GOP going on right now as we are less than 2 weeks away from the Iowa caucuses. Richard, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure as always, Greg.
An amazing day on Tuesday in a couple of different ways that I want to get your thoughts on. And we should point out to our listeners before we get started here that you've officially endorsed Ted Cruz for the Republican nomination for president. And he was the focal point of one of these moments on Tuesday. The longtime governor of Iowa, Terry Branstad, is a Republican. For the most part, he has stayed out of the fray, but he actually, on Tuesday, told people not to vote for Cruz. He didn't actually endorse another candidate. He just said not to vote for Cruz. And here's how he explained why.
I think that Ted Cruz is ahead right now. But what we're doing is we're trying to educate the people of Iowa. He is the biggest opponent of renewable fuels. And he actually introduced a bill in 2013 to immediately eliminate the renewable fuel standard. He is heavily financed by big oil. So we think that once Iowans realize that fact, they might find other things about him attractive, but I think it would be very damaging to our state, and that's the reason why he hasn't been invited to this, because he hasn't supported renewable fuels, and I believe that would be a big mistake for Iowa to support him.
And so basically he's saying Ted Cruz ought to be punished by Iowa voters for being against a government program that a lot of folks would classify as crony capitalism. What did you make of that moment?
Well, I think the person who should be punished is Governor Terry Branstad. He's the one who just lied. He said that Ted Cruz opposes renewable fuel. No, he does not oppose renewable fuel. He opposes subsidized, taxpayer-subsidized renewable fuel. Big difference. And he knows that. And that's just, he just flat out lied about Ted Cruz there. That's, you know, as you, I would say it a little different, Greg. I would say it's not crony capitalism. I would say it's crony corrupt government is the problem. And there's nothing wrong with capitalism, but there's a lot wrong with crony government politicians wanting to, you know, tax the payers for their favorite project. And this is just an example of how Ted Cruz is the limited government constitutional principled conservative in the race, the only one is certainly at a top tier level. And interesting that Trump has been attacking Cruz in recent days here, but not ideologically. He's not attacking him from a conservative standpoint. He's just bringing up issues that are a distraction and that divide the country, the party. And Cruz is running a very positive campaign and on a principled conservative campaign, by the way.
And the other issue, of course, that happened on Tuesday and is carrying on today in Oklahoma is that Sarah Palin, the darling of the Tea Party movement, the 2008 vice presidential candidate, someone I know you've spoken and written about very highly, deciding to endorse Donald Trump, despite the fact she's endorsed Tea Party candidates like Ted Cruz and many others around the country in years past. So how much does that add to the conservative bona fides for Trump? And why do you think she ultimately did this?
Well, I think it's, I'm sorry to see it. I think it's a big mistake. I think that it will have limited value. It's a mistake because the number one problem that conservatives have had in terms of trying to nominate a conservative for president since 1988 is that, or actually since 1984, Reagan's last term, is that we have not been united. We've been divided. And that's how we get people like Bush and Dole and McCain and Romney. Only candidate who's a conservative who can be nominated this year is Ted Cruz. And by dividing the conservative vote between Trump, who is not a conservative, and Cruz, just allows a better chance for establishment big government Republican to slip in and become the nominee once again.
you, like many other conservatives, kind of took a wait-and-see approach with Donald Trump early on in this campaign because no one was really quite sure what to make of him. More recently, you've been pretty critical of him and drawing more distinctions between him and Ted Cruz. The more you've watched Trump, what conclusions have you drawn?
Well, he's becoming more and more a typical politician consumed with power. I think he wants to become president at any cost, and if he's got to engage in typical political activities of pandering, such as subsidized ethanol in Iowa, he's prepared to do that. He in no way is a conservative. He's got a lifetime record, 40 years plus, of being a progressive liberal person. And it's just very sad to see conservatives once again divide their support. The number one thing that conservatives have to have, Greg, if they're going to win this coming November, above everything else, the party has to be united. And if the party is united, the Democrats are going to lose, I guarantee you. And the only candidate who's running right now as a top-tier candidate who can unite the party is Ted Cruz. And the party would be very divided if Trump is the nominee. And that's why it's sad to see Sarah Palin and other conservatives supporting Trump, because he's not going to be able to bring the cultural conservatives on board. Once again, the party would not be united in November and stand a good chance of losing.
Follow up on that a little bit, if you can, Richard, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who are more moderate Republicans, establishment, if you want to use that term, who detest Ted Cruz because he's bucked his own party's leadership in very public ways. So how do you believe he's able to unite the entire party, given the friction he's had with other Republicans, even though obviously you would agree with the stance he's taken in those skirmishes? Oh,
very good question, Greg. In my opinion, there are six key voting elements, voting blocks, if you would, that make up the Republican vote. The first three are Ronald Reagan's three legs of the stool, the economic conservatives, social and cultural conservatives, and strong national defense conservatives. Since Reagan's time, we've added a fourth leg, and that is the Tea Party. A fifth leg in recent years also is the what we might call the Liberty movement, the Libertarians. That's five there. And Ted Cruz checks all five of those boxes, unlike any other candidate out there. And the sixth leg is what you just were referring to, is the kind of establishment moderate Republicans. And since Cruz checks all five of those first boxes, with his vice presidential choice, he can bring the establishment moderate Republicans on board and have a united ticket. So with his vice presidential choice and other appointments, he has an opportunity to unite the party in a way that no other candidate does.
Last topic here, Richard. The last debate saw a number of prominent dust-ups. Ted Cruz was involved in every one of them. One of them that a lot of folks thought he might have gotten the weaker end of the debate was the New York values one, because Donald Trump ended up invoking 9/11, and a lot of folks thought gave him the upper hand. But you've been doing a lot of writing lately about New York values and what Donald Trump brings to the party. You've talked about that a little bit in our conversation today, but tell folks where they can find your work and some of the bigger points you're trying to draw out here.
Yes, we've had this week three articles on why Donald Trump is a progressive and should not be supported by conservatives. We'll have another one in the next day or two, and we'll continue for the rest of the primary season here to examine not only Donald Trump but other candidates as well. But it's important for conservatives to know that your enemy's enemy is not necessarily your friend, because the establishment in this country is so opposed to Donald Trump does not mean that he's our friend, that he is and has a 40-year record of espousing big government solutions to the problems. He doesn't follow the Constitution. One example is the Kelo decision. He thinks it's okay for private business and government to collude to take private property for no good reason. And whether it's same-sex marriage, abortion, giving to Democrat campaigns such as Hillary Clinton, Harry Reid, etc. He has a long track record of advancing the liberal cause. So it's important for people to know that, and that I think is going to be brought out here. I think this New York values issue that Cruz has written, brought up here, is going to be a very positive thing as voters in Iowa and South Carolina and other in the southern states that begin to vote here soon to realize Trump is not one of them. He's a New Yorker at heart, which is a big government, you know, state.
Richard, we'll leave it there. I'm sure we'll be back in touch as this very unpredictable primary season rolls along. Thanks for your time today.
My pleasure, Greg. Bye.
Richard Viguerie, longtime fixture in the conservative movement. He is the chairman of conservativehq.com. The book, Takeover, The 100-Year War for the Soul of the GOP and How Conservatives Can Finally Win It. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.